I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Bob Schusen in for the guys, hour number two of Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests of the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline, and we will get back to the phones in just a sec. If you're on hold, I promise, stay right there. We will get to you before we even take another break. I'll definitely get to a few of you. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we've got Buster Olney to talk about the Yankees, their struggles, MLB, the home run derby, players opting out of the All-Star game, his solution to that. So we've got a lot of baseball that we can touch on with Buster Olney. Hour number two, we kick off here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud sponsor of the 2021 ESPYs Sports Humanitarian Award. Well, I don't know how many people even knew that Team USA basketball-wise was playing over the weekend, and they lost to Nigeria. They were a 28.5-point favorite and plus 10,000, I guess, on the money line, and they lost. It's a weird team. And I don't know, maybe I'm not giving even this loss enough of my focus and my attention and maybe how big of a sports story it is, because there's just this blind faith that once Team USA goes to the Olympics, they're going to do what Team USA normally does. Now, the playing field is much more even now with the international element in the NBA. There are great players from all over the world that make teams that aren't the Americans much more of a threat to Team USA, but... And also, this team is going to add Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton once the finals are over. All three of those guys aren't playing right now, and they're on the roster. But a team that still has Bradley Beal, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Zach LaVine, Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, like, that team should beat Nigeria. That team should beat Australia, who I think they're scheduled to play tonight. And now the odds are much more even. I mean, were they a 12- or 13-point favorite instead of nearly 30-point favorite like they were over the weekend? Maybe this is the wake-up call they need. You know, maybe this is going to be a, hey, you're not just going to waltz to Tokyo and win every game by 40 type of a wake-up call. But does anybody really care that the newest version of the Dream Team over the weekend lost? Did it even draw your attention? I'm not sure. You can give me a call and tell me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Real quick, though, before we get back to the phones, let's get to a few other stories. It's time for audio files on Barton Hahn. All right, so now it is 2-1 in the NBA Finals. Giannis plays extraordinarily well again. The supporting cast does their job. They get a win in blowout fashion last night in Game 3. Our own ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst believes that Game 4, not only could be a pivotal moment for these finals, but a pivotal moment for Giannis and NBA history. Here's what Brian Windhorst had to say about Game 4.
That play leads me to believe anything is possible in this series, and that Giannis is at the beginning of maybe assembling the type of dominating ability that we've known he could have when he got the two MVP awards. This is the player at this level that we thought we could have, and these last two games I've seen it, and that's why I think Game 4 and his performance is potentially a very pivotal moment, maybe in NBA history.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if Giannis continues to do what he did in Game 3, which was his entire mentality seemed to be downhill, go to the basket, attack. That's clearly where he's at his best, if Phoenix is able to adjust in any way to that. But wide-angle lens on Giannis, I'll believe it when I see it. He's got a long way to go before we start talking about his place in NBA history. Because even if the Bucks come from behind now and win this title this year, there is still going into next year going to be an element of, like I said in hour number one, the only reason they won was because Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie couldn't all play together. The only reason Chris Paul is in the finals was because LeBron and AD and Kawhi and a bunch of other guys in the Western Conference got hurt. And these are just two teams that benefited from all the best teams losing their superstar players, and they're kind of by here by default. That's how they got here. Because going into next season, again, if all of those superstars are healthy, take a look at Vegas and where they put the Bucks and the Suns and their odds to get to the finals next year. I guarantee neither will be the favorite in their respective conference. Tim Kirkchin wanted to talk baseball, obviously. The Braves, they are teetering on the brink of irrelevancy right now as a around 5 or below 500 team. And now they lose arguably the best player in baseball, an ACL for Ronald Acuna. Here's what Tim Kirkchin had to say about the Braves' hopes.
Well, they're in big trouble without Ronald Acuna Jr. He leads the team in batting average and in home runs and in stolen bases. He leads the major leagues in runs scored. He's become a weapon defensively in the outfield. He is their energy source at the top of the lineup. And for most of this season, it's been Acuna Jr. and then the rest of that team offensively. That's how important he's been. So it's a terrible loss for the Braves. It's an even bigger loss for Major League Baseball because that guy is breathtaking to watch every single day, and to lose him for the season is really bad.
Even with the performance so far this year of Ronald Acuna, to Tim Kirkchin's point, the Braves are a middle-of-the-pack team, 15th in batting average, 12th in runs scored, and their pitching hasn't been nearly what I expected it to be. Their bullpen has really struggled as well. They've blown a bunch of saves. So now you lose not just your best player, but one of the top five, top seven players in the sport, maybe the best player in the National League all around. That is a tough pill to swallow. And the Mets, they're starting to now get the performances from the Dom Smiths, the Lindors. Conforto seemed to wake up over the weekend in spite of a terrible loss yesterday. If they start to match what their pitching has been with better offense, the Mets could run away with that division. Can't believe I'm saying that, but they could run away with that division. All right, we talked about the Yankees in hour number one. We're going to talk with Buster Olney about the Yanks coming up at the bottom of the hour here on the Barton Hahn Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. But a big theme, the rivalry that has now developed between the Yankees and the Astros, and whether or not the Yankees were trolling Jose Altuve when Aaron Judge hit a home run Saturday night, the only run scored in the game, the Gerrit Cole masterpiece. And as he's rounding second, going to third, he's tugging at the jersey, seeming to indicate, oh, maybe there might be a buzzer under there somewhere. Here was Aaron Judge. His response, asked if he was trolling Altuve with that move.
No, it's whenever they keep the roof closed here, it's pretty chilly. So it's just, you know, let my team know to button up a little bit.
So then when people go on social media and say everything that you were trolling Jose Altuve for the don't rip my jersey off, they would be incorrect to assume that.
Everyone's welcome to their own opinion.
Come on. He was trolling him. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Gary Sanchez did the same thing. And then the Astros trolled them back. Right? Maldonado did it, like exposing his chest after he hit the home run. And they ripped Jose Altuve's shirt off with the game winner yesterday. That's not by accident. So, but this is great. Like, I love a great rivalry. We need more of them in sports. We have too many players becoming buddies and going playing together, and free agency making, you know, kind of this great amalgam of players rather than legit rivalries and teams that, you know, really despise each other. I mean, you know, I grew up on rivalries. We don't have a lot of them in sports anymore. So if the Yankees and Astros, two teams that still could potentially meet in the postseason again this year, legitimately continue a hatred of each other, how does that not add to you wanting to watch the game? Certainly adds to me wanting to watch the games. All right, last one for audiophiles. And we're all going to be waiting a couple of weeks from now to see whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to show up and be there for the Green Bay Packers. Is he going to try to continue a holdout and force their hand? Well, training camp only starts a couple of weeks from now. And here's what Aaron Rodgers had to say about showing up or not showing up with Green Bay. That's a little different than what he has been saying to this point, or at least saying behind the scenes, right? I'm going to figure things out in a couple of weeks. Maybe leaves the door open that Aaron Rodgers will be there. But I get back to what Bart said when I was hosting with him, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago on this topic. It has continually been a topic the entire NFL offseason. And Bart made a great point. If you're Green Bay, why would you trade him now? You're going to trade him for draft choices, right? I mean, that's going to be the main thrust of whatever offer anyone gives you. So if at some point you're going to move him, you're going to move him for draft choices. Well, when's the draft? The draft is after next season. If the draft was being held in mid-August, yes, trade him now. The draft isn't being held this August. It's being held next April. So if you trade Aaron Rodgers now, you're giving Aaron Rodgers what he wants, almost rewarding him by getting him to a much better place than he views Green Bay to be right now. And you're still not getting compensation back that's going to help you until next April. Is Aaron Rodgers going to be any less valuable on the trade market in January or February than he is right now? No, he probably won't be. So unless a team gives you, like if Denver basically gave you their whole franchise, right? They gave you three or four players right now, plus all the draft compensation that you would expect to get in the spring. Maybe if a team makes you an offer you absolutely positively can't refuse, I could see trading him now. But I think Bart was right. Let him sit. If you're the Packers, why would you not let him sit when it benefits you not at all to trade him before this season or even during this season? Hold his feet to the fire and see what happens. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is Audio Files here on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Again, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Buster Olney will appear with us on the Goodyear Hotline coming up at the bottom of the hour. But we do have telephone calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So let's get to B from Florida. Joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Hi, B.
Hey, how's it going? I love the show. Good perspective on the Euro. So to answer your question real quick, and then I also have a suggestion for how they can make it better, is as a lifetime soccer fan, the answer to your question of why it's different than a free throw and a field goal is the fact that you still have that human versus human element when you take a penalty. So that's what I think makes it differently, and that's why.
What if it was like a home run derby, right? Like it would still be, you know, human versus human. It'd still be a pitcher against a batter. Why not just have this, you know, whatever guy you want to bring out of the bullpen throw enough pitches till somebody hits a home run and end the game that way?
Yeah, I
get this.
Here's
my question: You said you're a lifelong soccer fan. You grew up in the U.S. Are you from Europe? Like, what's your background?
Yeah, background is from Europe, from Portugal. So
okay,
yeah.
so you're probably the person I need to talk to the most, or anyone like you. You grew up in Europe, or you have European ties. So this is your culture. This is what you have lived and died with your whole life. Why are more of you not angry about this? Like, why am I, the casual soccer fan, the one that gets like I mean, if anybody wouldn't care about this, it should be me. And yet, for some reason, it bothers me. It doesn't bother you. Whereas I think if you went to the person in the U.S. that grew up on football and wanted to end a football game with a big kind of like weird gimmick, football fans, the diehard football fans, would be the ones that are most upset about it. Why are you not more upset about it?
I'm actually in between, because to me, I understand the tradition, and that's what makes a big part of it. It's the tradition, the moment, the big moment where a player wants to take it. But I'm actually in between. I would love to see more of the fluid game continue to happen. And I know you mentioned on, you know, removing certain players after the 30 minutes where they still don't score in overtime.
Right.
I would actually take that one step further and remove defenders, remove two or three defenders, so you make it more of an offensive game after those initial 30 minutes of overtime where teams still try to, you know, instill their tactics but still can't score.
This is where I think the conversation gets fun, right? Like, let's say you decide penalty kicks are out. We're going to play soccer, some version of soccer, but we're going to play soccer. Now, maybe you let players be resubstituted into the game. Well, like unlike baseball where and soccer where you take a player out, he can't go back in, maybe you now open the door to put any player that you took out back in the game again. Or maybe now the strategy, like you said, comes into it. If I have to play instead of 11 on 11, 8 on 8 or 9 on 9, which player do I take off the field? Not that you're mandating me which player I have to take off the field or put on the field, but do I have players on my roster that are specific speed specialists that I think would thrive if the field was that much more open and there was more space to work in? There's a million different ways that we could have, I think, the really fun sports argument, the strategy argument of what do? What rules do you employ? But to me, the end goal, like the finish line I want to get to, is at the end of the game, I want to see one of the two teams celebrating a win based on the fact that they just won scoring a goal playing soccer and not this. And again, maybe that's just me. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've got Cap in Indianapolis joins us next here on ESPN Radio. Hey, Cap.
Hey, what's going on, man? Bad thing about sitting on hold with you guys is listening to all the comments, and y'all done already talked about what I was going to say.
You know,
I totally
you can say it again,
you
Cap.
Changing.
If you waited, you deserve the floor. Go ahead. It's all yours.
All right, here you go. Here's how you fix soccer, and I agree with taking the players out. Let's fix soccer as a whole. I'm not a soccer fan. I'm basketball first, football second. Here's how you fix it as a whole. Start the game off with only 8 or 9 people. Stop that.
No.
0-1 after sitting there for an hour and a half.
No. Play the sport. Play the sport the way it's meant to be played. I get you have to tweak it at the end the same way that, at least in the regular season, hockey has tweaked their sport to put less players on the ice during overtime. It's a player safety issue. If you think the game is going to go forever, I totally understand, you know, tweaking it when you get to the point of no return, which is now we've played 30 minutes of overtime, still no one has scored. All right, now maybe I'm taking players off the field. I don't want to start the game with a gimmick. Play the game. Play the sport the way it's meant to be played. That's where I'm going to side with the traditional soccer fan who had every right to throw their arms up and say, no, 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 now you're trying to change my sport. I don't want to change your sport. I want your sport to be played the way it has always been played for the 90 minutes and even an additional 30 minutes. But ending it with the gimmick, that's all I'm trying to get away from. Let's get to Danny in Florida, joins us next year on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hey, Danny.
All right. I think I got a solution to your problem.
All right.
My son plays high school, and he's a goalie. So I do believe the PKs are very exciting. But the biggest difference between soccer and all these other sports is substitution, really. Think about it. Hockey is constantly bringing guys in and off the field. Football,
yep.
You're changing offense and defense. Basketball, you can substitute if the game goes into 5 overtimes. Well, soccer, they're only allowed 3 substitutions the whole game, period.
Yep. I talked about that. Yep, it's an excellent point.
So a big thing is, maybe it gets a little slower in overtime because people are – so I think maybe you get the 5 guys that were going to take the PKs after 30 minutes and have them do 5-on-5. And then –
Well, can I ask you this? And I kind of hinted at this earlier, but maybe it's a simpler way of explaining it. Why not we get to a point where maybe we take guys off the field to make it a much more wide-open, end-to-end type of a game because you've got the best athletes or some of the best athletes in the world now operating with that much more real estate. I mean, just take 2 guys off of a hockey rink, and hockey looks completely different 4-on-4 than it does 5-on-5. 3-on-3, I mean, it's the ice capade. It's like no one can catch anyone. So if you create more space for these guys by taking players off the field, it's going to look a little bit different. But why not, once we get to a certain point in overtime, reopen the substitutions? You can put anybody you want back in the game. All right? The 3 substitution rule is in effect until we've played either 90 or 120 minutes, whatever you want to pick. But we arrive at a point now where I can put fresh bodies back on the field and maybe reinsert my best player or couple of best players who needed a break and I took off the field earlier in the game.
Or maybe you do that. Guys that haven't even played in the game. There's tons of guys on
absolutely
the bench that won't even
that,
play.
Yeah, maybe you have a couple of guys, and that comes to the fun argument of roster configuration, right? Like maybe I'm going to have a couple of specialists. I'm going to have a couple of guys that are, you know, my 40-yard dash guys who are just faster than everyone else, and I've got a guy that maybe I don't really have a role for or isn't the best player 11-on-11, but oh boy, I put this guy on the field 8-on-8, and now we've got a completely different skill set, and maybe now I've got a role like a designated hitter of sorts, that type of guy on my bench. I'm open to all of these ideas, but to me, what I'm trying to arrive at is the idea that at the end of the game ends playing soccer and not with, you know, like a novelty act, which I think is what penalty kicks are. Let's go to John, who is in Simon, New Jersey. Or is that John Simon in New Jersey? I'm not sure. John, you're up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. How are you?
Hey, very good. Breath of fresh air here. This is the first time listening to you. I love a debate, a hypothetical, rather than Michael Jordan versus LeBron James. Loving it so far.
Thanks.
One of the things is with soccer, I think purists of soccer fans hate it. I think it was just a matchup where, like, if you get that Portugal guy back on the line, he would have probably hated it if Portugal would have lost. He was, I hate penalty kicks. Most purists hate the penalty kicks.
Okay.
But a thing like the other guy was saying, leave, you know, take guys out. One of the things that makes it soccer kind of boring is when they keep kicking it back to the defensive side of the field, where maybe in overtime, once you, that ball goes forward on the offensive side, you can no longer intentionally kick it back to the defensive side, back to the goalie.
I see what you're driving at. Thanks for the call. To me, that still fundamentally changes the way the sport is being played. Like, if I'm a diehard soccer fan, I understand that's part of strategy. That's part of maybe trying to set the field up so I can attack you the way that I want to attack you. I'm not looking. Like, I am a huge baseball fan. Huge baseball fan. I hate putting a guy on second base in extra innings. I don't want to fundamentally change the way the sport is being played. Tweak it, yes. Play the sport, yes. A bit of a novelty, yes. But not totally change the way the sport's played. So I think just taking a couple of guys off the field, I think, could accomplish the goal. And then saying, the same way you guys have always played, go play and see what happens. You can tune in, by the way, for Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby. Baseball's best sluggers vie for long ball supremacy. Coverage begins tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And coming up in a moment, again, if you're on hold, stay right there. I promise we'll get back to the calls. We're going to talk to Buster Olney after a quick timeout. We'll talk about the Home Run Derby and about everything we're going to see during the All-Star break and what will we see from the Yankees after the All-Star break. After this word from the Home Depot, DIY means sawdust, work gloves, and the right tools. But at the Home Depot, the right tools mean more than hammers and saws. It means a mobile app with built-in image search. Yep, that's a tool. Access an entire rental department with a swipe. That's another tool for any project, start to finish. This isn't just DIY. This is doing like never before. This is the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Download our mobile app to get started. Buster Olney in just a moment. Bob Wischusen and for Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests appear on the Goodyear Hotline. It's been a lot of fun talking sports with you so far today and kicking the soccer thing back and forth. No pun intended. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get back to the phones in just a moment. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you could save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. But as promised, we head to the Goodyear Hotline and talk to one of our senior baseball insiders. Buster Olney joins us here. Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. We have reached the All-Star break. Buster, are you going to take a breather here? I think you're still working the next few days, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm out here in Denver. Actually got a production meeting at noon because we got the Home Run Derby tonight. Going to be part of that coverage. Excited about that. With Ohtani, there's just so much excitement about what Ohtani might do tonight. And Pete Alonso, defending champion, so really fired up about that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I mean, there's some names that I think make the Home Run Derby kind of like the slam dunk contest. There's been a part of this that feels a little bit played out, but don't you feel like, especially with Ohtani, there's a little bit of an extra jolt in tonight's Home Run Derby because of him and Alonso and the fact that maybe there's some kind of rising star fresh blood in this that we haven't seen before?
There's no doubt about it. Look, I think if you were to give, Major League Baseball the option of all players this year to be in the Home Run Derby, if you were to give ESPN, who broadcasting the event, which player of all players would you want in the Derby, Ohtani would be the first choice. And at that point, when you get Ohtani and you get Pete Alonso,
then the rest feels like gravy. Yeah, I think in a perfect world, you would have loved Fernando Tatis Jr. in it, but you knew when he hurt his shoulder in the early in the season, it wasn't something he was going to do. You know, Vlad Jr., who's done it before, saying that he didn't want to do it. Acuna Jr. going down, and even before he got hurt on Sunday, you know, he had made it clear he wasn't going to be in it, but it doesn't matter. Like, this event, it could turn out to be the highest-rated baseball event of the entire year because of all the excitement of Ohtani. And you do have some, you know, interesting stories around him, you know, whether it's Alonso, who's my pick to win the Derby tonight, you know, going back and being excited to do it. Trevor Story doing it in his own ballpark, probably in one of the last days. He's wearing a Rockies uniform before he gets traded. For Trey Mancini, who's coming back from, you know, stage 3 colon cancer to participate in this. It's going to be a fun event, and it really has become, I think, baseball's signature event.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching. There's no doubt. I mean, it really, I'm looking forward to it, probably more so because of Ohtani specifically than I normally look forward to watching the Home Run Derby. Having said that, though, you brought up some of the names. There are others, DeGrom at the top of the list, not playing in the All-Star game. I know you were talking a little bit earlier today on Twitter about this. Greeny brought up your tweets, but now you have the floor. The problem with the All-Star game, with guys not playing, and how you think you solve it.
It is a growing problem. And look, I mean, I, as I've said on the podcast, you know, I don't know the specific circumstances, and you know, and there are definitely probably players who have specific circumstances where, yeah, I mean, a family situation where they should take it off. But let's be honest here. A lot of it is that some players don't want to be bothered with it. I love Jacob DeGrom. I think he should be the MVP in the National League, as well as the Cy Young Award, but get on a private plane, fly out to Denver, stand on the sidelines, wave to the crowd, hang in the dugout for two innings, and get back on the private plane and go back. To me, it's a professional obligation, you know, for DeGrom, for Jose Altuve, you know, who, you know, Carlos Correa. In the past, I never liked it when Mariano Rivera skipped it. I don't like it when players skip because I think it's a big event. And you'd love to know how many of the players know the history of the All-Star game and how it actually was initially started to raise money for the players.
Right.
You know, this is a sport that needs to be marketed. And when you've got guys basically saying, no, I don't want to go there, then to me, the solution would be if you don't want to participate in the All-Star events, then tell Major League Baseball, tell the Players Association in spring training so they don't put your name on the ballot and the votes can go to other players who do want to go there. The sad part is, from what I understand, part of the reason why players probably wouldn't do that is because the All-Star selections are used in arbitration hearings. To me, you know, it's a case where some players want to have their cake and eat it too, and it's not right. They should be thinking globally. They should be thinking of this from 30,000 feet and trying to build up their own sport.
Do you think, like other sports, the sport has gotten so top-heavy with salaries where the guys you described – are either 250, 300, 350 or more million-dollar players, or at some point are going to be, whether they play in the All-Star game or not, and maybe they don't understand that larger, like we have to market the sport responsibility that they have?
I think the esprit de corps among the players and the sort of I'm going to do it for something bigger than myself has eroded. And I think that's been reflected in the relative strength of the union. You know, because players in the past, I think, were like, you know what, I'm going to go there. You know, when Willie Mays and Hank Aaron would go to the All-Star game, not only did they want to go there to, you know, to participate, but they also wanted to go there to put on a show. And they understood, I think, what a big deal it was. And I don't know about you. There's no doubt that in terms of how the games are played, that the Major League Baseball All-Star game should be the best All-Star event.
Yeah.
It acts because of the one-on-one nature of it.
Yep.
And so I wish that we got back to the days when, you know, a DeGrom's on the mound and a Mike Trout's playing eight innings and the best players can stay in the game long enough. But now it really has devolved into a Little League participation trophy type thing where everyone plays as opposed to using it as a stage to put the best players out there to show what a phenomenal sport baseball is.
It's the one sport out of the big four that we have, and I've kind of been railing on the penalty kicks at the end of the Euros, kind of in this same vein, that's not soccer, right? Like the NHL All-Star Game, the wackadoodle format they've got is not hockey.
Yeah.
We know the basketball All-Star Game in the NBA is just a dunk contest, right? If the final, if they score less than, you know, 175 points a team, it's almost a surprise. The football All-Star Game, you know, the Pro Bowl is a joke. This is the one All-Star Game that kind of looks like baseball. And that's why it's disappointing, you're right, that some of these stars are skipping it, because I, as a fan of the sport, still want to watch this All-Star Game more so than I want to watch any of the other three.
Absolutely. You know, and I had a baseball executive say to me yesterday, and he's not in Central Baseball, he's with an individual team, but he said, look, it's a real problem when you have players skipping it. It's the point that, from his perspective, if he were working Major League Baseball, go to the union and say, look, if you guys don't want to do this, then we won't put it on anymore, and we'll use the days for something else.
Yeah.
But to have, you know, it become this conversation about every year now about whether or not players want to participate, as opposed to, hey, let's put, you know, all these tremendous players on a stage and have a real competition and a real game. You know, use pitchers for one inning at a time or maybe two innings max, but keep the best position players out there. How great would that be? You know, how great would it be if we get to watch a Mike Trout and Aaron Judge, the Fernando Tatis Jr. going at it for 8 or 9 innings?
Yeah.
It potentially could be phenomenal. And the problem is, it just feels like there's such a lack of leadership now in terms of people having a conversation about how to make that happen.
Well, having said all of that, there's still going to be greatness on the field tonight at the Home Run Derby. There will be greatness on the field tomorrow night. I'm going to watch, because there's still great players and great stories, as you said, for us to wrap our arms around. One quick thing. I know you have to run because you've got your meeting coming up to get ready for the broadcast tonight. But I'm trying to wrap my arms around what last night or yesterday afternoon meant to the Yankees, what this road trip means to the Yankees, how it ended the way it ended. I said, if there was any way for a team to go 4 out of 6 on the road and win 2 out of 3 this weekend and still walk off the field last night feeling like they got swept, it's probably the Yankees. What about how they take this into the second half and where they go from here?
Let's face it, the morning of July 26th, the Yankees front office, Hal Steinbrenner, their owner, will know whether or not this team has declared itself as being in or out.
Excellent.
Because 8 of their first 10 games out of the All-Star break are against the Red Sox, the team they're chasing. I talked to sources yesterday who say that as of now, the Yankees intend to buy. And it may not necessarily be a huge, you know, buy situation, but keep this in mind. If they kind of hang in there and do a little bit of rope-a-dope, and yes, you're right. I mean, it was a devastating loss yesterday. But if they, let's say they win, you know, 5 of the 8 games against the Red Sox, and they shave it down to 6 games, the way the trade market's developing with so many sellers, it could be tremendous buyer's opportunity. So even if you're the Yankees and you don't tend to be aggressive or don't intend to be aggressive, you might get a phone call in the last 48 hours from the Cubs who say, "Look, we're going to move Javier Baez. What do you give us? You know, look, we're gonna move Chris Bryant." The Rockies might be doing that with Trevor Story.
Do they have the ammunition to go get a guy like that? I mean, we hear like the Yankees farm system is not what it was once, right? What ammunition do they have to go make a move like that?
And it's a great question, which is why I really think the fact that it's setting up to be a buyer's market could play well for the Yankees, because it might be, as we saw with Manny Machado, as he got moved, the Orioles moved close to that trade deadline with Yu Darvish when the Rangers traded him. They wound up not giving those players away, but they basically took 60 cents in the dollar because the market wasn't playing well for them. And I think there absolutely could be a lot of position player buys out there for the Yankees, as well as a starting pitcher buy, with the prices plummeting as we get closer to July 30th.
Buster, I know you have to run. Thanks a million for the time. I'll be watching tonight. Even with some of the guys that are skipping the All-Star Game tomorrow night or the Home Run Derby tonight, I will be tuned in. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Tonight will be a blast. Thanks,
yes.
Bob.
All right, that's Buster Olney with us here, brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Bob Wischusen in for the guys. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. We got a ton of calls. We'll get to them when we come back before we take it to the top of the hour here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Bart and Han.
Hey, as all the management stuff, turn the dream of building your own law practice into a nightmare? Take charge with Lexicon Practice Management Software and Services. Visit lexiconservices.com/intersection. Bob Schusen for a couple of more minutes. Spartan Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and your smart speaker. I've got all these people all over Twitter yelling at me that I don't get soccer because I'm questioning the penalty kicks. That's the weirdest part of this thing to me, that the people that love soccer, that have grown up on soccer, and I guess have grown up with penalty kicks, don't see what the casual fan sees, which is you play the whole game, and at the end of the game, you take this complete departure from how the game is played and decide the game that way. I guess it's kind of like maybe kicking a field goal in football, right? Like, you think about just the most random jobs in sports. Is there anything more random than being a place kicker in football? Right, you play at the line of scrimmage with these big, strong guys, and they all beat each other up. And then if it gets to fourth down, you bring this little 5'9" guy out, and he kicks a ball through a big yellow fork, and somehow that gets you 3 points. It's completely odd. It's a bizarre thing that is a part of the game of football, but I've grown up on football. I don't question that, right? That's always been a part of football. So why would I question having a field goal kicker and kicking a field goal, getting 3 points, kicking the extra point, getting an extra point, the kickoff with the – I mean, that's – right? It's just the way the game's played. And I guess if you have grown up on this sport and it's been your only sport, and you are, as a caller was earlier today, born and raised in Portugal, and this was your sport growing up, this has always been what you've watched. So now I'm the interloper, right? I'm the outsider. I'm the heretic coming in from the outside and telling you about your religion. What you're doing is wrong, and this isn't the way it should be. And I totally understand why you would be defensive about that, but I would think the most diehard fan would be the one saying, no, no, let's not end it this way. Let's play soccer. And by playing soccer, then we determine a champion, even if we have to tweak the rules. I don't know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get to, is it Vital in Queens joins us next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus? Is that Vlad? It's so small on my screen, I'm having a hard time reading it. Go ahead. You're on ESPN Radio.
Oh, you can hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Oh, it's about basketball.
Sure.
I want to know how the African-American basketball players lost the edge to the African basketball players since that game with Nigeria. What do you think?
I have no idea what you're talking about. And thanks for the call, because I think you're taking us down a road that A, I don't want to go down, and B, is ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the color of the skin of the players that are on the court. I mean, right now, I think this, hopefully, this is just a wake-up call for the American team that they need to take much more of a depth of talent on the international stage, if they don't already, seriously. And that they are not just going to go to Tokyo and have everybody in America, everybody in the world rolling over because they're the dream team. I think those days are now gone. You know, there is an international level of talent in the NBA where if we did, say, USA against the world team that took on the USA team, it would, if it wasn't evenly matched, would be pretty darn close. And granted, those world players are sprinkled more through the international rosters for something like FIBA or the Olympics. But it certainly now is a wake-up call, I would think, to American basketball that it's not the dream team days of Jordan and Magic and Bird anymore where you're going to beat everybody by 60. Although they still should win the gold medal in Tokyo. That'll do it for me today, but I am back tomorrow and the whole rest of the week on Barton Hot on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Enjoy the Home Run Derby tonight on ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.